This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got Chapter 18, Part 2 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. OBC has risen to heights he never imagined. They've made him Pope of the new Catholic Church, the NCC. He's now CEO of the project and chair of the Universal Trade Zone, the UTZ's CEO Council. Now he's about to meet the eldest of the Eldred, the leader of an alien race that seems responsible for a plague now wiping out humankind. No pressure. But they seem to be lying to him about the air on their planet. Why? We'll find out in Part 2 of Chapter 18 of Vatican Ambassador, this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, as you've likely already noticed, this is a huge episode. I thought with the holiday and all, I'd give you a nice long piece of audio to listen to. It's a huge chapter, almost an hour and 35 minutes. So I had to divide it up anyway, and I only divided it in half because I figured this will give you some good listening over the holidays, or at least I hope so. I don't want to talk too much before we get into the chapter, because there's a lot of chapter to come. Just remind you that you can still take advantage of the Smashwords end-of-year sale going on through the 1st, through January 1st of the new year, 2024. The two $4.99 ebook collections are on sale for 50% off for just $2.49. So that means the Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus and the Vatican Assassin Trilogy under one cover. Both of those collections, half price, $2.49, at Smashwords, smashwords.com, with their end-of-year sale going on through the 1st. There's a link in the show notes, or just go to smashwords.com and look for Vatican Assassin, Alibi Jones, or me, Mike Luoma. There is also a free PDF comic book that you can get. Also have to act through the 1st. And that is through drivethroughcomics.com, featuring the Adventures of Alibi Jones issue number 3 with the Alibi Jones and BC short story, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. Alibi goes back in time and meets his father, BC. And you can get the PDF of the comic book for free by following the link in the show notes to drivethroughcomics.com. A big thank you to my patrons, to you if you are a patron, for supporting the podcast this year. If you'd like to jump on board and do that for the new year, I'd love to have you. You can get more details by going to my site, glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, and following the links to Patreon, because that's where I do the patronage stuff, or you can just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and there's 3 levels. $2 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month to help support the podcast. And again, thank you to those who do. If that's you, thank you. We'll get into Chapter 18, Part 2 of Vatican Ambassador next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Vatican Ambassador, Chapter 18, Part 2, on Glow in the Dark Radio. The transport floats up and away from BC's building, and then whisks them down several blocks. It turns, flits down another half a block, and then descends in front of another nondescript silver box of a building.
Only this building's immense size distinguishes it from other buildings in the city in any way.
Big place. Looks a little more worn on the corners, maybe a little older. Or maybe I'm hallucinating. Wouldn't that be something? The reason we can't breathe their air is that it makes us trip.
Nah, Nita never mentioned that. I think she'd know something like that. I don't actually feel at all funny or different or lightheaded. No ill effects, and none of them have noticed the unsealed helmet.
The outline of the door once again appears in the wall of the transport next to the tall Eldred. The door opens up. The alien exits the transport and steps to the side so BC can get out. BC steps out of the transport and looks up, taking in the height of the building.
Impressive.
Bernard Campion, please, follow me, the tall Eldred says. He turns and leads BC into the big building.
The building's interior is a hectic contrast to the plain interior of the other Eldred buildings BC has been inside. BC walks into a large, open lobby area. Numerous Eldred slink through the space in front of him on unknown errands. They carefully pass inches away from each other as they quickly dart through the lobby on their way to other parts of the building. His escort commands respect. As he leads BC through the lobby, the passing Eldred part before him and BC, letting them pass by unmolested.
Like a blue koala Moses parting a blue koala sea. Hey, could be a song in there somewhere.
When they reach the other side of the lobby, a large rounded door opens in front of them. They continue on through the door into a section of the building that is clearly older. They walk down a corridor, rounded like the door, walls bowing out at their center.
Walking down a tube. Kind of reminds me of old Lunar Prime. Or a ship, like their ship. Man, look at how worn it is. You just know this place is ancient. Looks like they built the bigger building around an older one. Or maybe around an old ship.
They arrive at another rounded door at the end of the corridor. The tall Eldred escort steps to the side as the door opens. He motions for BC to go on ahead of him.
What, me first? I will not be following you into the place of the eldest of the Eldred, the tall one says. Only those who are summoned may attend the eldest. I have not been summoned. You have been summoned. Be honored, Bernard Campion. The eldest does not receive many visitors. Go on, go in.
Thank you, BC says with a nod. He walks into the dimly lit place of the eldest of the Eldred, and the door slurps shut behind him.
Slurp? That's not right. Sounds wet. The air is humid and damp, too. Why is that not encouraging?
BC's eyes adjust to see he's standing on the edge of a large, round, and domed empty room.
A big room full of nothing and no one. Slick gray walls. They look kind of wet, too. Not that I want to touch them and find out.
A door slurps open across the room from BC. A small, hunched Eldred shuffles in towards BC.
Small like the other was tall. He does look old, and even more like a koala.
BC nods as the Eldred approaches. The Eldred does not acknowledge him, but instead shuffles past BC to sit down in a gray chair that had not been there before.
Where the fuck did that come from? The floor?
Finally, after sitting down and settling, the Eldred nods back at BC.
Please, the Eldred says in a clear voice. Remove the atmosphere suit and sit down.
He indicates another gray chair that has appeared next to BC.
Thank you, BC says. Funny, I thought he would sound older somehow. He looks old.
You are welcome, the Eldred says.
BC takes off the unsealed helmet and the rest of the suit. He sits down.
The air still kind of smells like lavender. Definitely damp in here.
I have been eagerly awaiting a chance to speak with you, the eldest of the Eldred tells BC.
Really? What? Say, how are you liking our attempted genocide? It's quite something, isn't it?
I have also looked forward to meeting and speaking with you and your race, BC tells the eldest of the Eldred. I have only recently learned of your existence. I've been learning a lot lately, BC says with a smile.
Trying to be diplomatic. Remember diplomacy, BC?
I understand you are the leader of one of your human religions, the Eldred asks. Yes, I am, BC admits. The circumstances that have made me the leader have been extraordinary, however. I must caution you that, were it not for the plague that has wiped out so many of my kind, I would not be in this position today.
Sounding good, BC. Humble, even. And reminding him why I'm here.
I see, the Eldred says. But you do lead today.
Yes, BC answers.
I would like to speak to you, then, about your human religion. We have never encountered anything like it before.
What, nothing like Christianity? BC asks, a little confused.
No, the Eldred tries to clarify. Nothing like religion. You humans are the first race we have ever encountered that attributes powers and personalities to other beings, invisible beings, or greater consciousness, larger than yourselves. It is quite fascinating.
Really? No other race has ever believed in God? BC asks, incredulous.
God? The Eldred asks, puzzled for a moment.
Oh, yes. God is one of your names for this power, isn't it?
One of our names for it, BC confirms. Yes, you do seem to have many names for this power, and many disagreements between you over what the name should be. We see that you kill each other over your disagreements.
Some do, this is true, BC admits, but most humans are content to worship God in their own way.
I have not seen this to be true, the eldest of the Eldred says, disagreeing with BC. The humans who call the power Allah want to kill you who call it God, do they not? We have observed your war.
The Eldred nearly lectures, BC.
But enough of your differences, the Eldred says, turning away from discussing the war. Your race still seeks this higher power, as some of you call it. Your race seems drawn to some concept of a greater, more powerful whole. You are unique among the races because of this belief. I want to know why this is.
Well, of course, that's an easy one. Why do we believe? It's like this, see? It's 'cause...
That's an interesting question, BC says, stalling for time as he thinks of what to say.
We could discuss religion all day. Rather cut to the chase.
An interesting question, BC says, trying not to sound sarcastic.
Don't know if they'd appreciate or even understand my sarcasm.
You know, we humans have been trying to figure that question out for as long as we've been able to ask it, BC tells the eldest of the Eldred. And we could spend a long time, you and I, discussing the human need for religion. That would be a fun discussion, I'm sure. We can do that right after we first discuss why someone is trying to wipe out the human race. That's why I'm here, actually. All the signs point to you, the Eldred, as the agents of our attempted genocide.
So much for diplomacy.
Hmm. The Eldred lets out a little grunt and shifts in its seat.
He almost looks uncomfortable. I know I shouldn't put human traits onto an alien, but damn, his actions sure do look familiar.
You are quite direct, the Eldred tells BC. It is, in some ways, all connected. Genocide, you say?
The plague now killing my people, BC prompts.
We believe an Eldred agent introduced it into the human population during a covert trip to the moon, under the escort of the Project. We have further reason to believe that you introduced a similar plague to kill Von Kilner of the Project, BC accuses the Eldred.
I see, the eldest of the Eldred says.
We're 99% sure it was the Eldred, BC tells him. I'm here for one reason, to find out why.
Why kill us all?
The eldest of the Eldred remains quiet for a few minutes, apparently lost in thought. BC is about to speak up to prod him back into conversation when the Eldred finally speaks.
If I do not accept the premise that underlies your question, the Eldred explains, I cannot answer the question itself.
If you don't accept my premise, BC says, pointing out the framing of the Eldred's response.
I heard that if.
Do you deny that your people have engaged in genocide or not?
Well, yes, I see, you see. The eldest of the Eldred pauses, tries to answer carefully.
We may have, exploited a certain weakness, triggered an inherent flaw in your species as an, control mechanism, as it were.
must restrain the urge to snap the ancient fuzzy little blue koala neck. Inherent flaw, BC manages to ask normally, keeping his voice under control despite his growing anger.
Well, yes, you see, the eldest of the Eldred shifts in his seat again, almost squirming. We have been watching you, observing your race for quite some time now. Longer than you know, the Eldred says with a knowing nod.
Trying to play wise man?
We could not help but see that your race is, well, quite dangerous, the Eldred tells BC.
Dangerous? BC asks almost involuntarily.
You kill each other quite a lot, you must admit, the Eldred insists. What you say the Eldred have done, is that any different?
Who are you to judge us? Who are you to exterminate us? BC shouts. He realizes he stood up in his anger.
The Eldred cowers, pulling back into its chair.
Even now you show the signs of your human hostility, the Eldred tells BC.
I had hoped for a less hostile exchange.
BC sits back down and tries to calm himself.
So, what then? Did you agree to meet me here to ask one of us some questions before you wiped us out entirely? BC spits out.
Question me, then kill me?
Never, the Eldred says, standing up to face BC, pulling itself up to all 5 feet of its height.
We do not kill, he says, staring up at BC defiantly.
What do you call your plague, then? BC insists.
You are killing us.
The koala turns and walks away from BC.
It is a correction, he says. He turns back around. We merely issued a corrective, the Eldred says.
The alien walks back to its seat, finishing a small circle.
Our microbe exploits an already present flaw. It would have occurred on its own eventually. We merely sped up the process.
What, that's not killing?
Some die, but it is the flaw in their DNA that betrays them, the Eldred insists. Their very makeup breaks down. Not all of you have died or will die, only those of you already flawed.
Keeping us down to more manageable numbers, BC asks. What do you think we are? Some herd of sheep for you to cull when you feel we're getting too restless?
No, the Eldred says. He tries to continue, but BC cuts him off.
Damn straight, BC raises his voice. Gotta try to calm down. I still would like to make it home, no matter how bleak that possibility looks right now.
We don't take well to being told what to do, BC says. Are you trying to make a case for your race, or against it, Bernard Campion?
The eldest of the Eldred asks in a calm voice. He has regained his composure.
Just kill him now. Take out one of them before I go down. No, can't let him get to me. Gotta calm myself down.
How do you know this flaw, as you call it, would have affected us? You have no way of knowing that,
BC points out as calmly as he can.
It has happened before, the Eldred answers. It always does with your race.
That was a loaded statement. What the fuck does that mean?
Always does, BC asks, losing it a little. What does that mean? Kamex told me this ancient enemy built your race 1 million years ago. Were we engineered and built by them too? And what? They messed up and were flawed? What do you mean always does? You've seen our race before? What do you mean?
BC can't help but let the questions pour out.
Not exactly, the eldest of the Eldred says, but your race is flawed.
Flawed, huh? You keep saying that. Flawed.
Flawed how?
The Eldred merely sighs.
Man, again, so human-like.
The Eldred stands up. His chair disappears into the floor.
Please, come with me, the Eldred asks BC. There is something I must show you.
BC stands. The eldest of the Eldred turns and walks toward the far wall. A rounded door slurps open in the wall in front of them. The Eldred proceeds into the tube-like corridor on the other side of the door.
Follow me, the Eldred says to BC.
BC walks into the corridor behind him. The Eldred speaks as it walks.
That is something you do not know, that you have not yet learned, the Eldred tells BC. Something you have not been told.
This way, please,
the Eldred says, indicating a door opening in the left side of the corridor wall.
Wait a minute, BC says, stopping in his tracks. What about the atmosphere? Don't I need a suit to walk around?
Let's see how he explains that.
There is no need to pretend ignorance, Bernard Campion. Your helmet and suit were not sealed when you arrived, the Eldred informs BC. You somehow deduced that the suit was not required for your safe breathing.
You were right, but it was still required for your protection. Come this way, the alien says, turning another corner and shuffling ahead. BC has no trouble keeping up.
Kamex informed you of the ancient enemy, the Eldred says. We vanquished them 1 eon ago, but we are pledged to remain ever vigilant for new threats.
Like us, I suppose. Eh?
There are not many actual records left from those days. Our accounts are sketchy, legends and myths. Our evidence scant at best. It was over a million of your years ago, you understand. But we received a command passed down through the millennia, an instruction to never forget, the Eldred says, as he shuffles on down the long corridor. The Eldred stops and turns to BC to make a point. The ancient enemy was ruthless, selfish, immoral, unsympathetic, not capable of empathy or compassion. Many wished to forget them when they were gone, but the Eldred were tasked to never forget. The ancient enemy conquered the stars. They were like your gods, descending from the sky to take what they desired and bringing down heaven and hell. They created us, the Eldred race, to serve them. And serve them we did for centuries, until the day came when we finally rose up and destroyed them, the Eldred says, as if repeating a litany. Somehow the bioengineering that made our race serve the ancient enemy was altered. Flipped. Okay, hold on just a second, BC stops him. If the ancient enemy built your race, how could you be wired to kill them? The eldest of the Eldred sighs.
We were built to serve the ancient enemy, the Eldred explains. They called our race the Servants, and we had been constructed with the inability to hurt them built right in. It was biologically impossible for us to turn on them.
So what happened? BC asks.
We are told there were some scientists among the ancient enemy who felt their race grew stagnant, who felt they were in retreat from progress. They felt their race grew soft because of my race's servitude. Some of the ancient enemy's own scientists altered the DNA of the Eldred to allow us to break from our servitude. Those changes eventually allowed us to oppose them. Instead of desiring to serve them, we desired to destroy them. We destroyed their world. We wiped them out and destroyed them. Or so we thought. But the ancient enemy was as cunning as it was cruel.
Here, the Eldred says, stopping in the middle of the corridor to let a door open on their right.
We have come to the end. Or the beginning, I suppose. Go on ahead, the Eldred says.
The room on the right is dark, some dim light just barely illuminating the confines of a smallish room.
Is this it? Am I walking into my death here? Like I really want to walk in first, alone?
I'll follow you in, BC tells the Eldred leader.
Very well, then, the Eldred says. He walks into the room ahead of BC.
Okay, then.
BC walks through the door into the dim room. It's another domed, round room, although half the size of their earlier meeting room. The door closes behind him, and the room grows even darker.
BC can just barely make out a pedestal in the shadows across the room.
We cannot forget the ancient enemy. They must not be allowed to rise again, the eldest of the Eldred says in the darkness, again almost chanting the words as if in ritual. We keep this room, this likeness of the ancient enemy, as our reminder. It is one of the ways we remember the ancient enemy.
The room's lights come on.
This is what you have not been told,
the Eldred says to BC as he points at the pedestal. There is a statue on the pedestal. BC's eyes adjust. There's no mistaking the figure on the pedestal in front of him. It's a statue of a human being.
What? We're the ancient enemy?
You're trying to tell me humans are the ancient enemy. But Kamek said they never came near the Earth, BC protests.
This has got to be some sort of trick they've cooked up for my benefit.
Now you understand why we kept you in the suit,
the eldest of the Eldred explains. Although our people know we've encountered a new race, they do not yet know who you really are.
If you had been seen in public, it would have caused great fear and provoked an unknown reaction. We are biologically wired to hunt you down and destroy you. And so the suit was indeed for your protection.
So what, BC asks, trying to wrap his head around the concept.
You think we're the ancient enemy reborn? Is that what you're trying to convince me of here?
Because I'm not sure I believe you, BC tells the Eldred. The eldest of the Eldred only looks at him, and then looks back at the statue.
They really do believe this, don't they?
So that's why you're trying to kill us.
You are closer to the truth now, the Eldred says. It is not your fault,
the Eldred tells BC, sounding almost reassuring.
Your race was manipulated and betrayed by others, not by us, but we have the task of issuing the corrective.
You really haven't explained, BC says, pointing at the statue.
This!
The Eldred looks pensive, furrowed brow and all.
I think I'm beginning to understand the reason why they seem so human.
The Eldred and the United Planets finally defeated and destroyed the ancient enemy. When we blew up their homeworld, the ancient enemy sent off star seeds during the resulting explosion. These star seeds were protected packets of their DNA designed to take root and evolve on other distant suitable worlds. The same scientists who altered the Eldred developed the star seeds that started your race,
the eldest of the Eldred tells him.
They undermined their own race by turning their servants against them, but then they tried to ensure their race's future by seeding the stars with their race's DNA. We could not stop the star seeds. We did not know at first of their dispersion. But upon their discovery, we set out to destroy them. We hunted them down and saw to it that they did not create new life. We found many of these star seeds, but some eluded us, and others were hidden, concealed from us.
The eldest of the Eldred pauses, looks up at BC to look him in the eye.
You know of the race some call the Domo?
The Eldred asks him. BC nods. I know of them. I don't know them myself.
The Domo are at primary fault in the concealment from us of your race's existence, you humans of Earth. The others known as the Flays have been their accomplices. By the time your existence became known to us, it was too late to merely exterminate you, so we have been observing you. Now you know the true story,
the eldest of the Eldred tells BC.
I know something, BC says to the Eldred. I now know your story, anyway. This is your justification for genocide? As I have already tried to explain, we did not...
Don't tell me about exploiting a flaw again, or I'll... BC stops, takes a deep breath.
Well, just don't tell me, okay?
I know what you were going to say, BC explains.
What is this flaw, anyway? Your natural tendency towards violence, aggression, self-destruction,
the Eldred says.
BC shakes his head. Wait a minute, you said you were exploiting some genetic, biological flaw.
We are, the Eldred insists. Your biological imperative to self-destruct.
That doesn't really compute cause and effect-wise for me, BC says. It's not good enough. Plus, you said we humans of Earth were different, unique, because we have religion, you know, the higher power? We have religion, but the ancient enemy didn't, did they?
They worshipped only themselves, the Eldred says. You are different in this way.
But never having seen any other starseeds fully develop, we have no precedence by which to measure your race's development. This higher power could well be the result of the racial memory of your race's own former power and domination. Your race often looks back to a golden age that never existed on your Earth, another unconscious collective racial memory, we believe, perhaps deliberately implanted by the scientists who programmed and launched the star seeds. That is why I wish to speak with you of your religion, to see what lies beneath it,
the eldest of the Eldred explains to BC.
That is why I asked you here, to speak to you of religion.
That's fine, BC says. But have you considered the fact that your race's biological imperative might make it impossible for you to accept that we, the human race, are actually different from the ancient enemy? BC questions him. The Eldred's brow furrows.
We have considered that. The older we get, the easier it is for us to defeat those biological imperatives to gain more objective neutrality. As the oldest of my race, I can defeat my biology to consider that your race may be savable.
Then you must grant that my race can defeat our biology as well, and indeed be different from those millions of years ago.
You have a point, the Eldred concedes. You are frailer creatures than they were. You lack some of their abilities as well, and you have your human religions.
Wait a sec, what abilities? BC asks.
They were much stronger than you,
the Eldred says.
Really? BC asks. Did the Domo do something to change us?
The Domo?
The Eldred repeats back at BC, sounding surprised. The alien makes a high-pitched snorting sound.
You make me laugh, Bernard Kempion. The Domo are not capable of such things. They found you well after your race had developed into its present state. They do not possess the skills or the subtlety to make any significant alterations. The Domo are as they always have been, parasites. They merely took advantage of a situation they discovered. Many minor races sought out the star seeds of the ancient enemy, those that knew of their existence, thinking to create their own versions of the ancient race somehow beholden to them. Fools! Most just made it easier for us to find the starseeds through their suspect activities,
the eldest of the Eldred says, nearly chuckling. Could the Flays have altered us? BC asks the eldest of the Eldred.
No, they are also incapable of such things.
No, you are what you are because of the world on which you developed. You are humans because you come from your Earth.
BC tries another tack. If the ancient enemy were so bad, why do these other races want to bring them back? The eldest of the Eldred sighs.
We have dedicated our rule to keeping the star seeds from developing. We have kept the peace and preserved the status quo for a million years. Some find it boring. Some desire violent change. They think breeding their own version of the ancient enemy will help them get their way. We Eldred live a very long time, Bernard Kempion, and we have very long memories. Short-lived races often find our sense of scale far too long-term for their tastes. It occasionally breeds discontent.
How old are you? BC has to ask.
I am just over 10,000 of your years old. I have watched your race grow up as I have grown old, the Eldred tells BC.
Wow, BC exclaims. Okay, how long can you live?
The oldest eldest of the Eldred is said to have lived to be 100,000 years old.
Really? Our oldest are usually around 125.
Thousand?
The Eldred asks, raising his brow. You have a sense of humor, BC notes.
You have shorter lifespans than the ancient enemy, the Eldred tells BC. But not by much. They lived to 200 of your years, on average. They created us to last, though. A well-trained servant is invaluable, you see. The ancient servants were often passed down within a family, from generation to generation among the ancient enemy.
So, did the Domo and the Flays get any benefit from hiding us? BC asks the Eldred.
None at all, not really, the Eldred tells him. Although the Domo did feed on your race for some time.
They fed on us? They were the vampires, then.
Indeed, yes. We found them living among you and collecting their tribute, as they saw it. The Domo are an adaptive species. They adapt to planets by ingesting the local flora and fauna and feeding on life energy. They thought your blood, a bountiful food for them, was their means not only of adapting to Earth, but also of becoming more like the ancient enemy.
Did that work for them? BC asks.
It did perhaps make them more cunning for a while, able to hide their activities here and your existence, for example. But the adaptations of the Domo fade over time. These are not lasting transformations.
What gave them away? BC asks his now talkative host.
Ultimately, the involvement of the Flays brought about the Domo's downfall, the Eldred tells BC. These two races do not usually work together. The Domo's approach is immersion, adaptation. The Flays favor unseen observation and experimentation. They like to stay out of sight, behind the scenes, as it were. Yet here they were with the Domo, quite suspicious. And then we found you.
When was this?
About 300 years ago. We chased off the Domo and the Flays and began to observe you ourselves. We caught the Flays back on Earth again about 120 years ago, and we chased them off again. Both the Flays and the Domo were prohibited from entering within Mars orbit. When those among the Project reached the old Domo base in the asteroids, the Domo took advantage and reintroduced themselves, soon followed by the Flays. We were then forced to introduce ourselves.
We've come full circle then, BC observes, as you then felt forced to kill us all, right?
The Eldred sighs again. We do not kill, we correct, and we did not engineer a plague deadly to all of you, just those with a randomly chosen recessive gene. The gene itself is immaterial and can be changed. There will be millions left alive, the Eldred says, making his case with BC.
How refreshing, BC says with sarcasm. Why is it you get to decide who gets wiped out?
We have maintained peace for millennia, the Eldred says.
This puts you in charge of what, everything?
We keep the peace.
You assumed command a million years ago and have been in charge ever since, deciding who lives and who dies. How are you any different than the ancient enemy? You commit genocide.
It is not genocide. Do you not see?
The eldest of the Eldred insists. Maybe not technically, but really? Come on, BC protests.
We did not assume command, the eldest of the Eldred insists. In the power vacuum left after the destruction of the ancient enemy, all of the United Worlds decided to let us keep the peace. We have never resorted to the methods of the ancient enemy. We have never conquered any world. We try to find peaceful ways to end conflicts, the Eldred says. There could even be such a way out of this situation.
This what?
This situation.
Oh, you mean the you're killing us situation. That's great. How progressive of you. A way out?
Yes. We will discuss it further later. Now I believe we should take a break. We have food provided for you in another room.
Thanks, BC says, but I'm not that hungry. I'd rather talk about saving my race from your plague, he tells the alien.
I told you, the plague will not kill all of you. Not all at once. It works in, stages,
the eldest of the Eldred informs BC.
After we take a break, we will come back and discuss your human religions. There is much we need to know before we contemplate any further corrections.
So, what's the way out? BC asks, confused.
I do not know, the Eldred says. I only know that there could be one. That is why we must talk further.
The rounded door to the statue room opens behind them. The tall Eldred stands framed in the doorway.
Please take Bernard Campion to his food room, the eldest of the Eldred says to the escort.
Come with me, the tall Eldred says to BC.
Go on, the eldest of the Eldred encourages BC. We will speak again later.
BC follows the tall Eldred to another domed room, with more beef bourguignon awaiting him on the table.
Is this all I'm gonna get now? Now that they know I like it? I wonder.
Thanks, BC says to the escort. The tall Eldred takes the cue and leaves BC alone to eat and think.
So, the Koalas think we're their ancient enemy reborn. Great. They feel totally justified in killing us. Oh, excuse me, correcting us. And a way out? I don't know. Sounded ominous, not hopeful. Please explain your religion, and we'll decide whether or not to kill the rest of you. Sort of sounded like that to me. And what can I say? Oh yeah, we've basically used our religions as excuses for killing each other all these years, but don't kill us. Not a great argument.
BC isn't sure how much time goes by, but the tall Eldred pokes his head into the room shortly after BC finishes eating.
If you are ready, the eldest would like to continue your discussion, Bernard Campion.
Ready as I'll ever be.
BC is returned to the first domed room for his continued discussion with the eldest of the Eldred. He sits down across from the eldest, in the chair waiting for him. How is your food? The eldest of the Eldred asks. Fine, BC tells him, although I would like something different next time.
Oh, the Eldred says with a hint of surprise. We will consult you before providing your next food, the alien says.
Thank you. So, where were we? You want to talk about human religions, and I want to talk about saving my race, which you've wanted to kill since discovering my planet, BC says.
Actually, we discovered your planet long ago, the Eldred says. Shortly after the war against the ancient enemy, we even wiped out the original race started by the starseeds on your planet. We did not know the seeds still functioned and remained vital, did not know they had started another race.
So, did they wipe out the Neanderthals? Gotta wonder.
So we really slipped through the cracks, huh? BC asks.
I do not know what you mean, the Eldred says.
It's an expression, BC explains, meaning you, lost track of us, I guess.
Like the UTZ lost track of the project.
Fine, the eldest says. But let us now speak of your religions. As I said, the ancient enemy worshipped none but themselves.
Sometimes that happens even with our religions, BC says. Some religious leaders are guilty of self-worship turned inside out, projecting themselves onto some icon or image that lets them focus the adoration.
Careful, BC, don't be so negative. Be honest, but I don't want to talk them out of the idea that religion might make us worth saving.
Interesting, the Eldred says. Yes, we have seen illustrations of this in some of the cults and cults of personality in which your leaders have engaged. This often creates the more violent expressions of faith among you. We do see the hand of your ancestors in this, but other leaders among you have been capable of seeing further, of unselfishness and sacrifice, of reaching beyond the limitations of your race. It may surprise you to know, but you are a representative of this type of leader, Bernard Campion.
Me, BC protests. You've got to be kidding.
If I understand you correctly, I disagree. I am not creating humor, the eldest of the Eldred says. But I did not mean you, Bernard Campion, but rather the teacher you represent.
Jesus? BC asks, understanding and feeling a little embarrassed. I thought you meant me there for a minute.
You?
The Eldred asks.
Of course you have the potential to be such a leader yourself, Bernard Campion.
BC protests. Buddha, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, they were men like you describe. Nothing, and I mean nothing like me.
You may protest, but it is your reluctance to lead that makes you a good leader. You are also able to handle great change with grace and dignity. We have been watching, you see.
Just how much do they see?
How do you watch us? Spies? Stealth technology? BC asks, risking rudeness. The eldest of the Eldred snorts another high-pitched laugh.
No need, the alien says. You are the loudest race in the galaxy. Your communications are unavoidable. The real trick was in sorting it out and understanding it, and then realizing how much was insignificant and could be discarded. We do not need to spy on your race, Bernard Campion. You tell us everything.
So you must know about Jesus already, then, BC says.
We do, but much of what we learned is contradictory. Much of it changes over the years. As the current representative of Jesus, we want you to explain what he really taught.
Oh, that's all.
Wow, BC says, sucking in a breath. That's a tall order.
It is not an order, the alien says, confused. And what does height have to do with it?
Another expression. Sorry, BC apologizes.
Go on.
For me, it all boils down to God is love. I had a revelation, I guess you'd call it, kind of confirmed that for me, BC tells the eldest of the Eldred.
But how do you define this concept, love? The Eldred asks. It does no good to say your God is something without defining the term.
BC can't help but laugh. That's kept our poets and artists busy for centuries, BC says. I suppose that's one of the things we've been fighting over, too. What is love? I guess it's that feeling of being part of something bigger than yourself. Seeing yourself in someone else.
realizing we're all connected? We believe all beings are interconnected, the Eldred says. To hurt another is to damage yourself. I believe the concept would translate as universal oversoul.
So wait, BC says. He's now the one confused.
I thought you didn't have religion.
It is not religion, the Eldred says. It just is.
Speaking of convenient definitions...
Then how can you kill us? BC asks. The eldest of the Eldred sighs.
Your doctors are sometimes forced to amputate a limb to stave off infection. It is not done lightly. It is not done without regret. But it is done, because it has to be done. The correction is like this. It does not change the fact that we still desire this underlying interconnectivity.
Just like the old song, huh? BC jokes. All you need is underlying interconnectivity.
Again, I do not understand, the Eldred says.
I substituted underlying interconnectivity for the word love in the lyrics to a human song. I think you're near to the idea of love, BC tells the Eldred.
The ancient enemy did not have this concept, love, or it would be easier for us to translate and understand,
the eldest of the Eldred tells BC.
The closest term to it they had was bond, but that implied compulsion, not the voluntary connection you speak of.
Bond, BC asks.
Bond, such as a blood bond to family and clan, honor bonds to unit and command, world bonds to homeworld and colony. These were required, expected. They do not sound like love.
We have bonds like those, too. We even talk about bonds of love, so there's some similarity, BC says.
They did not love as you do, yet you are often as violent as they were, the Eldred says.
But our love is a sign that we're getting better, isn't it? BC suggests, making his case.
Or we were, until you started killing us.
When we're desperate, it's harder for us to love.
Is that so? Interesting. That makes a sort of sense, I see, the Eldred says. So, there is a possible way out of this situation.
There is? BC says, surprised.
We can stop the plague, as you call it, from advancing to its next stage. It will switch from one random recessive gene marker to another, stage by stage.
Keeping us in smaller and smaller, more manageable numbers, BC says.
Look, stop the plague. We're not out to conquer the universe, not this time.
Not yet, the Eldred says, holding up a furry blue hand in caution. That is why we must set conditions.
Conditions, BC asks. The eldest of the Eldred folds its hands together, steepling them in front of its fuzzy blue chin.
Yes, conditions.
Such as, BC says through clenched teeth.
Conditions? I'd like to condition his face with my fists. Probably be like punching a pillow.
You are a religious leader, and a person of influence on one side of your war. We have contacted Ibn al-Salid as well. He will be here to speak with us soon, after you've returned,
the Eldred says. I told him you existed, BC says to the Eldred.
We know, the Eldred tells BC. We were glad to find that you two had communicated. It was a sign that there was a possible way out of this situation.
Which is?
It is simply this. You must reconcile as a race and end your war. Make peace among your race or the plague continues.
That's it? BC asks.
That seems too easy.
That is the beginning, the eldest of the Eldred says. You must agree to stay within your solar system, within the orbit of your fifth planet, until such a time as we deem you peaceful enough to join in the universal civilization.
Now wait a sec.
And you must swear loyalty to the Eldred and our peaceful ways, and agree to our stewardship of your race,
the Eldred concludes.
Whoa, brakes on, stop right there.
Wait a minute. Are you saying we have to accept you as our rulers?
No, not exactly, the Eldred protests. We ask that you accept us as your stewards, your guides, your shepherds, to use your teacher's example.
At least he's done his homework.
We will help you develop your unique aspects and help suppress those vestiges of the ancient enemy that continue to manifest in your race.
I see, BC says.
Except that I don't, not really.
You see, the Eldred prompts. What does that mean?
I want an end to our war, too, BC tells the eldest of the Eldred.
And I thought an external alien threat like you guys might help bring us human beings all together, too. But not like this.
But I need time to think about your other conditions, BC tells the Eldred. I'd like to go back to Earth and think about all this. Tell you what, after you have Al-Salid visit here, he and I will get in touch. We'll talk about your conditions and give you our answer together.
That seems reasonable, the eldest of the Eldred says. I believe we are through here for now, then.
I guess we are.
You will be taken back to human space, then, leaving tonight. We will have a transport bring you back to the Project Asteroid base.
The eldest of the Eldred stands up. BC stands as well, and their chairs disappear. The rounded door BC entered through reappears, along with the tall Eldred and the rest of his escort on the other side. The tall Eldred holds BC's atmosphere suit.
I apologize for your inconvenience, but would you please put the atmosphere suit back on?
The eldest of the Eldred asks BC.
As a precaution?
Sure. BC dons the suit, but doesn't bother to seal the helmet.
No wonder there's only a slit for the eyes. They don't want any of the other Eldred to see what's inside.
The tall Eldred leads BC back out through the lobby to a waiting transport.
This transport will take you to your ship, which will then take you home, the tall one says.
Huh, okay. Guess I won't get to say goodbye to my room then, huh? BC jokes.
Goodbye to your room?
The tall Eldred asks. BC sits down in the transport. Just tell the room it was good for me too, BC jokes to the alien. The door closes and the door's outline disappears.
I liked that room, but that poor Eldred had no idea what I was talking about.
BC is whisked away from the big building housing the residence of the eldest of the Eldred, out of the city and across the plain. The transport delivers him to the landing area where he arrived, next to a ship very much like the one he had traveled to Eldre on in the first place. Please exit the transport, BC hears over the helmet speakers. As he gets out of the transport, a door opens in the side of the ship, and Eldred walks off the ship to greet BC.
Bernard Kempion? The Eldred asks.
Who else are they expecting?
That's me, BC says. Come aboard the ship and I will show you to your cabin.
Thank you.
They are efficient and punctual.
Gotta hand them that. The trip back to the asteroids is uneventful. BC is forced to once again kill time in his cabin on the way back.
I'd love to have that entertainment unit now. Plenty of time to think. Nice, uneventful trip. That's the watchword of the Eldred. Uneventful. Make sure nothing happens. Preserve the status quo. No events, please. Can't wait to see some fellow human beings. The Eldred are just different enough to creep me out.
Anita is there to greet BC when he lands at the project's asteroid base almost 3 days later. You're alive, she says brightly when BC leaves the Eldred ship. So far, so good, BC says with a shrug. He puts his suitcase down. Anita gives him a big hug, but then backs away.
I'm glad to see you're in one piece, Anita says. Sorry.
Hey, don't be sorry, BC says to her. Why sorry? I like it that you hugged me.
I liked it when you kissed me before, too.
I'm sorry because, well, Anita tries to explain. You're the Pope.
So, BC says, I'm the fucking Pope. So what? I probably shouldn't be. I'm still me. I'm still BC. I'm still the guy that conked you over the head with the hatch cover the first time I met you. You know, the one you were spying on, crawling up out of the sewers of the moon. The guy you almost killed. Come on. She starts grinning.
I told you, I saved your sorry ass back there, she insists. Saving my life doesn't count when you're the one who put my life in jeopardy in the first place, BC counters. It's like when someone starts a fire so they can look like a hero putting it out. It's no good. They arrest people for stuff like that.
Anita stops grinning. Fine, she says coldly. She turns and walks away, clearly pissed.
Anita!
He calls after her. She ignores him and keeps on walking, leaving BC standing alone next to the Eldred ship.
Smooth, really smooth, BC. Again, aliens I can talk to. Women, not so much. Okay, Anita, be that way.
BC hears a loud humming noise behind him. The Eldred ship is humming and vibrating. BC takes the cue and walks away from the craft as it lifts off. The sleek silver ship, nearly silent save for the hum, glides up and away, out of the base's landing bay.
Back off to Eldray? Or maybe to pick up Al-Salid?
Well, I need to get back to Earth, or at least the moon, and I don't feel like asking for Anita's help right now.
Like she'd want to give it.
BC spots a technician nearby. Excuse me, BC says, getting the tech's attention. I'm Bernard Kempion, BC starts.
I know that, the tech says, sounding a little insulted.
Great, everybody has an attitude today. Give me a fucking break, I'm tired.
Get me a transport back to Earth, please, BC asks semi-politely.
See that ship over there? The tech points to a flasher.
Yeah?
That's yours, the tech says.
It is?
BC asks, surprised.
Already?
Ms. C's got it all set for you, the tech tells him.
Ms. C? Oh, Anita, great.
BC drags his suitcase over to the flasher to look for the pilot. Can we get out of here? BC asks a woman standing next to the ship the tech pointed out.
Sir,
she asks.
Huh, she looked like the pilot.
Hi, sorry, I'm BC, Bernard Kempion, he explains. You know, the Pope.
The woman smiles. You're my passenger. Back to Earth space, right? Climb aboard.
With pleasure, BC says, looking around the landing area. There's no one else nearby.
He climbs into the flasher, ready to head back to Earth. He rides on the bridge with the captain. It's quiet. She's busy guiding the ship out of the asteroids. BC watches rocks flash by and contemplates the starry carpet of space as they fly.
Well, that went well. I always know just what to say to the ladies.
What was that, sir? The pilot asks BC. Did I say that out loud? She doesn't say anything at first. I think you did, she says. Sarcasm, BC explains. I don't really know. What to say, I mean. Ladies, I meant. The pilot laughs. I can see that, she says, smiling. She glances back at her instrument display. Transpace time, she tells BC. Excuse me, won't you? No worries, BC says. The pilot fires up the transpace drive, and soon the Earth is shining in the distance. It's a smooth ride, and BC is soon back on Earth. He instructs the pilot to set him down outside the Vatican, and calls ahead to let them know he's on his way.
In public like that, sir? Are you sure? The pilot asks him to confirm his choice of landing area, a parking lot in Rome outside the gate to the Vatican.
I'm sure. Set her down.
A small reception committee greets BC as he disembarks. His secretary, provided by the Curia, is up in arms from the moment BC gets off the flasher on the outskirts of Vatican City.
Your Holiness, the Pope Peter, sir.
The priest follows BC back from the landing area, trying to get BC's attention as he walks from the ship towards his offices.
I'm tired. It was a long trip. What do you want?
BC says curtly.
You're hardly ever here, sir. You were supposed to be on the moon, but then you weren't even there, sir, for over a week now. There's a great deal of a paperwork that needs your signature. There are audiences scheduled that you've missed. There is much work to being the Bishop of Rome, and I dare say you aren't doing much of it, sir.
BC stops in his tracks.
Not like I need to explain interstellar politics to this toady.
You dare to tell me how to be Pope? BC says in his most menacing tone. The secretary backs off.
No, sir. Sorry, sir. I was sort of saying, but... No, never mind. I misspoke, Your Holiness.
BC continues his walk.
Thought that might be the case. I have many responsibilities, Father. Some of them keep me on the road. But I'll tell you what. Get anything that needs my signature ready for me for tomorrow morning. I'll sign until my arm drops off then. For now, though, I need some rest after my long trip.
If I may, sir.
Yes?
Mr. Wentworth of the UTZ has been a quiet, insistently calling for the last week. He says that it's important.
Of course it is, BC says, mostly to himself.
One final note, Your Holiness? The secretary asks.
What?
You are due for a fitting of new vestments, also scheduled for tomorrow morning.
BC is nearly at his office door.
Great, BC says to the man. I'll sign papers while they fit me.
BC opens his office door. He starts to step through it, as his secretary still continues.
I'm not sure that will be physically possible.
BC shuts the door on the man. He hits the speaker switch so the secretary will hear him outside.
Good night, BC says.
He finds a place for his suitcase, and then finds a bed to lie down on. Sleep comes quickly, but BC's head starts throbbing too.
Then the headache gallops in, treading on his skull, horses with hooves of pain, thousands of voices talking at him, shouting at him through him all at once. He can't be sure if he is awake or asleep.
Suddenly, everything shrinks down to a pinpoint. BC feels still, calm. His world begins to open up and expand. The walls fall away. BC sails across an infinite ocean, a still, calm sea. He listens for the other voice. It echoes in from nowhere and everywhere, not heard by ears, but heard all the same. But the voice is different this time. BC can feel the difference rather than hear it.
Will you awaken, see as I see?
The voice is jarring, dissonant, like a clanging of bells in his head.
Who are you? I am the last. I am the first. I am reborn.
You sound different.
What is this energy?
BC senses a reaching into his mind, an invasive feeling, a filthy feeling. He tries to throw his hands up to defend himself, but he has no hands. He tries to throw something up to block the invasion, tries to will his arms to move in the dream.
Get out, 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 get out of my head!
BC feels it like a snap. His mind slingshots across the still calm sea inside, racing, racing, free of the reaching in, the invader gone. He sees a red fire in the distance. Suddenly he's next to it, a bright red glowing ball of fire like a tiny sun he could hold in his hands. He reaches out to touch it, to hold it,
and he is angry. The dream changes, shifts. He is still asleep. Or is he? He lies static, arms and legs stiff, confined, as if trapped in a small sleeping bunk.
Anger.
He is angry. He has a right to be angry.
I am awake. I again have a body. No longer just a spirit, no longer just alive in the mind. I feel. Feeling again, tingling in my toes, fingertips. I remember it all now. Where am I now, though? Where do they keep me? So much time has passed. We are gone. No minds to sense, no sense of bond. Nothing save the new energy I've sensed as thought, consciousness. So close, so close. I sleep somewhere they no doubt thought safe. But it is all changed. Reaching out for nothing. I sense no thing, nonsense, some sense, weak little lights, some brighter than others, are they out there? They are out there, distant, save the close bright one come to awaken us, come, if they are weak, they will be malleable, impressionable, easily led. They are not the people. The people are lost. These sparkles are mere remnants of what once was, but perhaps ripe for real leadership. Who is left to punish me now? My frozen punishment, my lesson, my time now served, and what of the servants? Could they let the people die? Do they yet remain? My arms, I do feel my arms, I do. It is my body. Why now? Who else is in here in my mind? This mind like mine. Who are you?
BC feels the snap again, and again he sails across the still calm seas, this time catapulted away from the fiery orb. He feels the anger fade as the bright red ball disappears, feels the walls of his office come back up around him, feels his headache and the confusion of the dream fade away with the anger, and then it's all gone, and he shrinks down into the small, still point, and drifts off into sound sleep.
Beep, 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 beep.
The comm is flashing and beeping for his attention.
Great, my secretary.
What is it? I didn't ask for a wake-up call. BC says, answering the comm.
Look, sir, I know that, and I wouldn't ordinarily disturb you, sir, but the thing is, they've been a-trying to reach you, and I don't know what to do, not to really.
Who? Is it Wentworth? Look, tell him I'll talk.
No, sir, it's well, we have a communication for you from those aliens, sir. Your Holiness, they seem to know you, sir.
Aliens? Which ones? Most people don't even know they're out there. Any of them yet.
All right, BC tells the priest. Put them through. And Father?
Yes, Your Holiness?
Not a word to anyone about my callers, eh?
Yes, Your Holiness.
The comm screen flickers to life. The eldest of the Eldred looks out at Campion.
Bernard Campion? The Eldred asks.
Hello, eldest of the Eldred. I am surprised to hear from you so soon. I'm afraid I have not yet even heard from Al Salid. Although it seems too soon for him to even be back on Mars. I asked you for some time, and I've only just returned here to Earth.
Yes, we know, the Eldred says after a short delay.
What kind of comm system lets him get through to me here from Eldre? Be nice to get our hands on that.
We have had a development,
the Eldred says, sounding almost afraid.
A development? BC asks. Yes, can you meet with us again? There is a sensitive subject we need to discuss with you. Far too sensitive to speak of on an open comm channel such as this.
Does it have to do with Al Salid?
No, he has come and gone just after you. I imagine he will be in touch with you soon. But by then it may be too late. We can say no more on an open channel.
Okay, I'll meet with you. Where? We can meet with you on Earth, the Eldred offers.
Yeah, sure, and bring along a new virus, or trigger the next stage, right.
How about the Project Asteroid Base, BC suggests.
Better than here or the moon.
The asteroid base, then,
the Eldred agrees. I'll meet you there in 6 days, BC tells the alien. I need some time to prepare and to get there.
The need is urgent,
the eldest of the Eldred says.
But if it must be 6 days from now, so be it. We can be there in 3 days. We will be waiting for you. Be aware, the situation is dire. We do not have much time to deal with the situation. Please, be aware.
I'm aware, okay, BC assures the alien.
Hope I kept the sarcasm out of my voice there. Aware? Aware of what? Aware of a whole lot of nothing so far.
See you at the base, then. 6 days. Or sooner, if you can, please.
The eldest of the Eldred says, signing off. BC calls his secretary. Sorry, Father, but I have to leave again. Here. BC signs his name on the desktop tablet, sends it to his secretary. Have a stamp made of this and go nuts. Well, not too nuts. No checks or anything, got it?
Your Holiness, but this is a no good. It says a Bernard Campion.
What's wrong? Oh, BC signs Pope Peter IV and sends it to the secretary. Thanks, BC says.
But the sir, you've hardly been here.
Silence, BC raises his voice. The man stops.
Huh, never tried that before. Guess it works.
Take care of it, please, BC says, and signs off.
I said please to be nice. Nicer, anyway. Now for Anita.
BC puts a call through to the project's asteroid base to talk to Anita.
Anita, BC greets her.
BC, she asks, answering coolly after a few seconds' pause. What can I do for you?
I love it when you talk dirty like that, BC jokes.
BC watches as she listens to his response. Anita blushes.
BC, you're the Pope, for Christ's sake.
For his sake and everyone else's, BC jokes. Look, Anita, I'm just trying to lighten up the situation, because we've got a bit of a situation on our hands.
A situation? Anita asks.
I just got a call from the eldest of the Eldred. He's coming your way.
BC, Anita asks, didn't you know the Eldred are asexual, BC? Neither male nor female?
What? No, you never told me that. But look, never mind. BC shakes his head.
They're scared, and they want to meet with me, and they're on the way to the asteroid base for that meeting. They'll be there in 3 days. I need you to send a flasher to pick me up here at Vatican City to get me out there.
Again? She asks. They want to meet with you again this soon? That can't be good, BC.
The eldest of the Eldred actually sounded scared, BC tells Anita.
That makes me scared, Anita says.
Yeah. They asked for the meeting, said there's been an important development, that something had changed, but they wouldn't say what.
Mysterious as always, she says. I'll get a ship out to you soon.
Sooner the better, BC says.
Yes, sir, Anita says, saluting him. She slaps off the comm.
Well, that went kinda well.
Doesn't being Pope, head CEO on the UTZ Council, and an all-around nice guy count for something? He calls his secretary back.
Contact the project. Get me the ETA on my ship, please, BC asks.
Your ship?
Yes, sir, Your Holiness.
What scares the Eldred?
That was part 2 of Chapter 18, A Vatican Ambassador, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, that is a lot to take in. The Eldred say humankind is the reflourishing of a race they call the Ancient Enemy? BC has learned a lot more about the alien races who have messed with Earth, too, the Flays and the Domo, and gained some insight into the plague the Eldred are employing to control humankind. The plague will not kill all of you. Yes, thank you. That makes me feel so much better. Make peace among you, or the plague will continue. And stay within the solar system. And swear loyalty to the Eldred. Yeah, they're not asking too much here. And BC did have a strange mental encounter as well in his dreams. What does that mean? And then the Eldred got back in touch. And they're scared? That can't be good. Wonder why. We'll find out, or at least start to, in Chapter 19, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder, you can get a free PDF comic book in December. Have to act before the 1st. Just follow the link in the show notes to drivethroughcomics.com to get The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue number 3, with the short story done in one, nothing continued, Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, which also features BC as Alibi Jones goes back in time accidentally and meets his father. That's the free PDF comic book we're giving away through this month of December at drivethroughcomics.com. Again, the link is in the show notes. And the Smashwords end-of-year sale continues through the 1st. You can get the 2 collections, which are usually $4.99, for half price, 50% off, for just $2.49. That's The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, under one cover, and Alibi Jones, The Chronological Omnibus, all of Alibi stuff, under one cover, all for just $2.49, where it's usually $4.99. And that is through the 1st at the Smashwords End of Year Sale at smashwords.com. There's a link in the show notes, or go to Smashwords and look for Vatican Assassin, Alibi Jones, or me, Mike Luoma. Well, a very happy new year to you as we draw 2023 to a close. Hope you'll be with me in the new year. That is all for this week and this year. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.